This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Treasurer Talk, brought to you by Dunedin Community Accounting. If you are a club, society, group or small charity, we're here to answer your bookkeeping and accounting questions.
Now it's time for Treasurer Talk with Dunedin Community Accounting. And so this morning, we're going to be hearing about audits and reviews and which you need and which you don't need and what are the advantages of each. So on the line, I have Emily. What are you, Emily?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. And so, reviews, audits, what are we talking about?
Yeah, good question. So essentially an audit is an assurance report which details, and the keywords here are a reasonably high level of assurance of the financial statements as free from material error or fraud. What this basically means is professional independent opinion is provided to claim that the numbers and other non-financial information have been recorded are true and free from material misstatement. When referring to material misstatement, I'm talking about information that is sufficiently incorrect which may impact the economic decisions of someone relying on those statements. So this is someone like a funder, etc. And a review, however, is much like an audit, but significantly less detailed, therefore can only be claimed as a limited level of assurance. So you can see the difference, limited and reasonably high. It's still required to be looked over by an independent person, but it's essentially based on inquiry and fundamentally an analytical approach. Therefore, it can be expressed generally in a negative form. The result of the report may sound like nothing has come to our attention that has caused us to believe the financial accounts are free from material misstatement. So you can see it's limited as it's an expression of the auditor's conclusion. Yeah. But just going back to audits, they are quite rigorous. They provide a higher standard of confirmation as there's generally more work involved by the auditor. Due to inspections, observations, and recalculation of numbers recorded on the annual accounts, for small to medium charities with limited funds, the audit may be relatively costly. So therefore, a review can be a good alternative that still provides a level of accountability and transparency without being overly expensive.
Right. So the review is likely cheaper. Audit more expensive, and the audit involves a lot more work, and the audit is sort of in depth, and at the end of it, the person who's doing it, if it's an audit, it's an accountant, isn't it? The accountant who does the audit expresses their view that they're happy with what they've seen, whereas a reviewer would express that they haven't found anything bad.
Yes, that's exactly correct. Yeah.
Right. Excellent. Okay, I'm getting it. On you go.
So, and then also just to clarify that there's different requirements for accounts to be audited. So not every account needs to be, or charities need to be audited. That's why I was talking about the reviews as well. There are certain tiers at which organisations fall under due to the operating expenditure that has been recorded for the previous two accounting periods. So, for example, charities with an annual operating expenditure which is greater than $1.1 million are required to process an independent audit of the accounts by a qualified auditor. However, charities of a medium size with operating expenditures of over $550,000, either review or audit needs to be provided. And then for smaller charities with less than $500,000, not required by law to provide an audit or review of the accounts, and this is definitely useful to know, as organising an audit or review can be timely for the executory when deemed unnecessary.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is good because it does provide an external expert opinion on recommendations for, improvement on any internal controls, deficiencies and things like that.
Yeah. And of course, it must be at least 90% of charities are less than 500,000. Like most charities are small charities. So for most, there's no legal requirement in the law to say you have to have a review or audit. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if the charity's needing to find out if they do need an audit, you can always refer to the charity's own rules. So this is the constitution. Mm-hmm. And it should state whether they are subject to a review or audit. It's important to follow even if the law does not require the charity to do so, as it may be, other requirements, as I've referred to before, such as like funders or contracts that may be asking for an assurance report. And it's in the best interest for charities, if an example, to secure things like funding or ensure accountability of obligations are met, the material misstatements that can be clarified from the assurance reports just gives stakeholders that extra security and, benefit of understanding the charity's accounts. And then if the charity does not have any requirements, which is likely for the small charities, and if they choose to do so, if they do want to do perform an audit, it does not need to be by a qualified auditor unless it is stated in the constitution.
Right. Okay, so there's almost like audit with a capital A, audit with a small a, and yeah. Review. That there's the audit which is done by an auditor and is legally required and has to be a chartered accountant with sufficient experience and everything else, and then audit commoner garden. That's interesting. So there's a considerable amount of options available for organisations to get someone to look over their accounts. There's a spectrum of what that could look like.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. And so the things to check are, so it was your total expenses for the year, which could trigger that through the law, mm-hmm. and then checking mm-hmm. your own constitution were the two important things to do, I heard there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, the constitution is something that can be overlooked. So it is very helpful to refer back to going through the at the end of the financial year, especially because these reports have to be produced within 6 months after the balance date and then filed to charity services. So, just making sure that it's a good, habit of practice, especially when roles are constantly changing over within charities, to refer to the constitution. And then obviously if different amounts are happening with the expenses, to look at that as well.
Yeah, yeah. So if you were having a review or audit done, how do you go about that? How do you start?
that's another good question. There's different requirements that may be asked for by the different tiers of the charities. So, there's a couple of things that should be a good habit of practice throughout the year. Sometimes minutes that across meetings are required. A copy of the general ledgers, cash book, a copy of the trial balance at balance date, any bank statements for the financial year and the 2 months after the year end are necessary. But this can all be found on Charity Services website. If you just, look up the statutory audit or review requirements, especially because, with the different charities, there can be certain level of information that needs to be attained.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And presumably your auditor will guide you as well. They'll tell you what you need. But at the end of the year, it's too late to ensure that your minutes from the start of the year were in order.
Exactly. And that's all about, as well, going back to the importance of good governance for charities to be doing processes like this.
Yeah, and so even if you're not, if you're not going to be reviewed or audited, it's still good practice. I guess that's the point, is that the auditor is checking or a reviewer is looking for that good practice. But you know, you can still do that stuff without the need for the audit. So you're making sure your minutes are in good order and that you've approved the what you need to approve and everything else. Is a good way to be, irrespective of if someone's going to tell you whether you did it right or not at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Right. Okay. So these things are always feel so complex and are so specific to individual organizations, aren't they? You know, what their constitution says and what, you know, how much money they spend over the last 2 years and thanks for giving us that overview. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about review and audit?
No, I think that's all that I've covered off today.
Excellent. Oh, thank you so much for that, Emily. If people are looking for assistance and understanding what their constitution says or sorting out their accounts, they can get in touch with Dunedin Community Accounting. There's one session left this year in 6 days' time, so it's coming Monday. So visit dca.org.nz to sign up for one of the sessions then if you want specific advice about your situation and what you can help. And I think you're on that team, are you, Emily?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. So you'd hear a familiar voice, and I'm associated with Dunedin Community Accounting as well. I assist with the sessions. I'm not an accountant, but I make the sessions happen. So you may have two familiar voices if you sign up for one of those sessions. So thank you, Emily. That's been really informative. That's really useful, and thank you for coming on and sharing that.
No worries, thank you. It was great to chat to you.
Thanks.
Treasurer Talk is brought to you by Dunedin Hi. Community Accounting.
Thank you.
If you're a small club, society, group, or small charity looking for guidance on your bookkeeping or accounts, Dunedin Community Accounting can help for free. Get in touch through dca.org.nz or call 0800 113 160. To listen again or to share podcasts of the series, visit oar.org.nz and look for Treasurer Talk.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.